Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. We can take a look at this little maid, the things that she suffered. Maybe not the exact thing that she suffered, but how many people in this parish or the county just up the road suffer through abuse or who knows what? Or not just little maids, but wives or who knows? People suffer all the time. All you have to do is open the newspaper. You know that things are bad. Newspaper. Well, we understand that the economy is going down the tubes. People are suffering. Yeah. I worked with a man a couple of years ago. I did some consulting work for one of the banks or one of the insurance companies. I don't remember. I'm a computer guy. I'll fix anything, install anything. And they hired me to do this or that. I forget. I remember what it was. It was one of the banks. It was Chase Bank, and everybody got new computers. They had an asset refresh, it's called. 20 computers, however many computers, everybody got new computers that night. And we're just flunkies, you know. We show up on the job 4 o'clock, and you know, you get paid when you're done or whatever. But they had somebody that was the supervisor or the lead technician, whatever, and he came from Pennsylvania or Jersey. I don't remember where he was from. And he was telling me that they pay him a salary, decent money, I suppose, and they give him a per diem, in other words, hotel and so much, 20, 30 bucks a night to a day to eat and what have you, if he has to buy some more soap or underwear or whatever he has to do. Here, that's the money when you're traveling. Take care of your expenses. He told me that in the morning he went to the Continental Breakfast, and you know there's not much there. Stale cereal and no bacon or nothing, just, you know, nothing. He picked out a 3 or 4 plates full. And he didn't eat again until 24 hours later when it came time for breakfast again. He couldn't afford it. He took that $20 or $30, stuck it in his pocket, left it there, and mailed a check to his wife so she could make the payment on the house. And that was 2 or 3 years ago. What about now? So there's all sorts of suffering that we could explore. It doesn't have to be a little maid that's stolen. It could be you name it. There's a lot of suffering, and some people kill themselves, and some people, they lose their minds, or you know, their marriage falls to pieces or something. And the answer generally, well, you need counseling. Or maybe we need to give you pills, or maybe we need to get a restraining order or something, but we've got an answer. We both know those answers don't work. Get mad at me if you want, but we both know that AA doesn't work. It's a failure. But the psychologist, the government worker, the social worker, the lawyers, and they've all got their answer, but there's no help. We know it, especially in the church, and outside the church you need to get the message. It just doesn't work. You need to turn to Jesus. That's the point. You need to turn to the Lord. All the founders of modern psychology, when they were children, they were in church. I don't know what kind of church. I have no idea. Don't know if they were born again or just good little Methodist. I have no idea. But they were all in church. Freud, Maslow, Rogers, Jung, you name it. They were all in church. At some point when they were teenagers or maybe adults in college or something, or maybe after college, they realized, hey, I don't want God. In fact, what it says in the Bible that offends me. I don't have to repent of my sins, etc. And they came up with their false theories, their false answers. Think of that. All the founders of modern physics, Einstein, Niels Bohr, you name it, all of the physicists, they all had some sort of spirituality in their lives. Some had some weird spirituality, but it was spirituality. You would think that science, you know, holy science says that the Bible's a lie and etc. and we came down from trees and monkeys and all of this stuff. All of the physicists, the guys that the buck stops with them in the scientific world, they all said, I don't quite know what it is, but there's some kind of God out there that made this stuff. So think of that. The true scientists believed in God. The pseudo-scientists, the frauds, they all hated God, mocked God, and did their work to fight God. There are 250 conflicting theories of psychology. 250 of them, and they all conflict. They all say, if one says it's red, the other one says, no, it's blue, and what have you. And there are 10,000 different applications. All these theories, but how the particular doctor decides to implement that theory. It's a mess. In Isaiah chapter 1, I'll just read it. Why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. God is talking to Israel, who had paganism, idolatry, and self-righteousness. Jeremiah 2:13 says, and you know it, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn them out cisterns that can hold no water. These broken cisterns can hold no water. This is the answer. This book is the answer. And the man it talks about, Jesus Christ, he is the one from heaven. He's what God the Father sent from heaven as the answer to all the problems of the world. You can put your trust in Jesus Christ. You can depend upon Him. You can look to Him. Got a problem? Stick your nose in the book. Take two Bible verses and call me in the morning. Hallelujah. This is it. This is the answer. Psychology is a fraud, in my opinion. Social work, don't let them people around your kids. Sorry. Okay, I apologize, but you know what I'm talking about. They don't have the answer. Lawyers? Man. Oh, Billy was right. Let's kill all the lawyers. Let's do it tonight. Can't believe I'm quoting the Eagles. Shakespeare was right. Lawyers are the problem. That and politicians. Generally, when I preach this chapter, I can't help myself. I talk about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Again, you don't have to turn to it. We all know the story. She was interested in religion, excuses, etc. She was interested in this and that and hiding out because five husbands working on number six. Ashamed. Embarrassed. Couldn't move. Had no money. Should have moved. Oh, don't we know that? Don't we understand that? But Jesus came and offered her the living water that satisfied the thirst in her soul. Changed her in a moment. She got so excited and satisfied, she left her water pot and went on an evangelistic tour. Went into that city and said, "Come see a man. Come see Jesus. I found the answer." I can't help myself, but when I talk about this little maid, I think of the woman at the well. The woman at the well found what that little maid had. Thank God. Thank God. The church is being asked for the living water that Jesus offers. And if you think that the world isn't asking, think again. If they put needles in their arms or guns to their heads, you know that they're looking for something. Our problem is we don't believe that we have the answer anymore. But we need to get back. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. Not explain it away. Well, you know, brother, it's, you know, 2011 and science and psychology and evolution, and they laugh at us. And, well, you know, I got a reason why Genesis chapter so-and-so ain't true. Well, too bad. Too bad. The Bible's true. The Bible is the answer. Look and look and look and look and look. Solomon, he says, "I did all of this stuff." And, man, if he lived today, he'd be all up in the papers and stuff. But Solomon searched and searched and searched and searched. And at the end of it, he said, "Look, this is your answer. Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Learn from somebody else's mistakes. You don't have time to make them all." I can tell you about my mistakes, but thank God I found Jesus Christ. So instead of the living water, instead of the only message that matters, we've turned to "money cometh,
come on,
and purpose driveth." I don't care what camp you're in, I'm going to bash you both. What else? The emergent church nonsense. Contemplative prayer. Postmodernism. Politics. Well, we have to lobby Washington and carry these signs and whatever. You're wasting your time. I read political news and political commentary every day of my life. And I ask God, of course, as you should, "Lord, help us get the right ones in." But the answer that America should turn to now is not Mitt Romney or Herman Cain or whoever. It ought to be to an old-fashioned altar and saying, "God, please forgive this nation for the horrible things we've done against you. Forget my picketing the abortion clinics. Lord, forgive us for killing all those babies. I'm not going to march. I'm going to crawl, if you would." We need to get back to the Bible. And the only thing that will truly fix the problems in this nation. And I read something today or yesterday, again, I read commentary every day. It said in Europe 2 or 3 weeks, and the whole thing could go. One nation after another fall over. Greece obviously is bankrupt. They could all just fall over. When that happens, bread lines from here to Tennessee. The answer is repentance. Well, I don't know if we can last that long. I know that when one of our guys gets in, we will have National Weeks of Prayer. We will have repentance. They'll try the best they can to enact righteous laws and get rid of unrighteous ones. I understand that, if we can last that long. But we need to start today to repent.
Amen.
Not, "Oh God, help us to get this candidate in," but, "God, forgive us. In Washington, well, you know, God, forgive us in our own parish here for the things that we've done wrong and my neighbors have done wrong." We see Daniel. Daniel didn't do anything wrong, but he was praying for the sins of his nation. That's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. Political correctness. Man, I could go down the list. all the other things that the world uses. But the thing is, the church takes all of these pagan ideas. Psychology, we understand that that's not of God. But the church says, well, you know, who needs the Bible? You need to go see a specialist or sit on a couch and pay $200 an hour or something. Well, I'm sorry, I'll stick here. Silver and gold have I none. But look what they did with that man. And they pulled him up off the ground, and God strengthened his legs, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. We have the answer if we'd remember it. Those two evils that God's people had committed, forgetting the fountain of living waters and then turning to something else. But Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, you know it. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We need to turn back to God, us, you, me, to guide on the road, the nation as a whole. We need to turn back to God. Joel chapter 2, again I'll read it. Chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Now therefore also, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me, even with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? I see symbolism here. The obvious thing, hey, we need to repent, turn back to God. If you read Joel, it's a scary book. It's probably more scary than Revelation. It says that you guys have blown it, and judgment's going to come. And we understand that judgment did come. And Israel was carried away captive to Babylon for 70 years. But it says that God would repent him of the evil. Well, I'm going to destroy your little thing. I'm going to upset your apple cart. I'm going to send punishment and captivity and etc. But if Israel had repented, then God would have said, well, you may have to suffer a little bit, but you won't be carried away. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. If you know anything about the Old Testament and symbolism, you understand that the meat offering was offered at the temple where your sins were forgiven. The meat offering, I understand. The drink offering. The meat offering talked of Calvary and the precious blood that Jesus shed when he hung upon the cross, dying for you and me. And a drink offering that talks about the Holy Spirit. So even in this verse here, this great warning in the book of Joel, he says, come back to the cross and I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And again, reminding all of you that we're to be about the Father's business. Repent, get full of the Holy Ghost, but it's time to go and witness. It's time to proclaim this book and the message therein. We must always be about the Father's business. And if we repent, and I'll close with this, in Isaiah chapter 58, it talks about the fast of God, not the religious doings. I'm going to withhold myself of food, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that and suffer. It's not about any of that. It's about in the heart, denying yourself in the heart and saying, well, I got a little bit extra money, let me go help that guy over there, he don't have any food, or etc. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, and when thou seest the naked, let thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? And then the promises. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. In other words, when you pray, God will begin to answer prayer. And there'll be a revival in your heart and then one in your church. and thine health shall spring forth speedily. I am the Lord that healeth thee, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. And thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Wouldn't you like a prayer life like that? I understand about tarrying. Now, we need tarrying meetings, but I'd like to have a lifestyle like that, a relationship with God like that, that when I get down to praying, I get up and God answers the prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. If we'll return to God, ourselves, our church and our community and our nation, if we'll return to God, there's no limit to what God can do. And God can stop the recession, stop the depression, honestly, that I think we're in. Stop the foreclosures. God can turn it around, but we must repent. We must repent. We must repent. Would you like to come and sing something, sister? Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your word. And I know I'm nothing in your sight. But the message of Jesus Christ, that's what matters. Help us to always lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, for whatever reason, these altars are open, however you guys are used to doing things, but if he's spoken to your heart, please come and pray. Pastor. Hello, friend. This is Evangelist Joey Kelly. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Please understand that it blesses me to know that the program is being listened to and appreciated. The sermon that you just heard, I preached a few months ago in North Louisiana in a little town called Spring Hill. Probably you've never heard of it. It's near Shreveport and about 2 miles from the Arkansas state line. The audio wasn't that great that night. I apologize. We couldn't get the sound right, and actually the sound man, his chair, needed to be oiled. Every time he moved, it squeaked. But I believe that as you listened, you sensed the presence of God. And for his presence, I'm so very thankful. But I have an important announcement. Many of you know, if you've listened for some time, you know that a couple of years ago I tried to start an evangelistic outreach of this radio program on Sunday night. We found a place in Harvey, right by the Harvey Tunnel. A church had opened its doors to us, and we were able to meet for a few months. But that space became unavailable, and I was forced to cancel the meetings. But the vision that I believe God placed in me never left. And for a year and a half now, I've asked God to give us another place to hold meetings. And I'm here to report that he's done that. Starting January the 8th, 2012, I'll be holding services every Sunday night right here in Metairie, in fact, 3 blocks from my apartment. It's on Metairie Road, right at the corner of Cotifer, in fact, catacorner from the Shell station. And I'll be giving directions later on. But the pastor of Old Metairie Protestant Church, Jack Boudreau, a friend of mine, offered to let us use his fellowship hall or one of the meeting rooms in the back. And of course, I'm very thankful to him and his congregation for letting us use their facilities. If your church, wherever you happen to attend on Sunday morning, doesn't meet on Sunday night, then I want to extend an invitation to you to come out to Old Paths Tabernacle. That's the name of the work that I started 2 years ago, and that's the name we'll continue to use. You've heard me teach, you've heard me preach, perhaps you've even heard a little bit of my singing at the end of some of the programs. And as I said a bit ago, there are many of you that listen to this program every week, and it blesses you, and I'm, again, very thankful to the Lord for that. But as I said, if your church doesn't have Sunday night service, then please consider attending Old Paths Tabernacle. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.